But the title of this message, and the reason I titled it this is because I've said it so many times. So God told you. Really? God told you? Have we heard that? Have we heard people say that? God told me. God told me this. God told me. God led me in this direction. Here's another one. Have you heard someone say, the Spirit spoke to me? Oh my gosh, you know, in years past, it would just make me, I just couldn't believe that. I couldn't believe that God would just speak directly to someone. What's his voice sound like? Is he from Decatur? You know? Have you heard anyone say, I heard the Lord say to me, and there again, there's another one of those sayings where I'm like, well, what's he sound like? What's he saying? He's in Kimbra's voice, okay? Okay, now this one bothered me for years, and I'm really good with it now. But, man, it used to just make me cringe when I, and mostly it was funny because you mostly hear ladies say it. I know that I know that I know. Oh, how do you know that you know that you know? I know that I know that I know. How? And then you could ask them how, and they say, well, God told me. Oh, so God told you. You're back there, right? Amen. These are some of the things that I really struggled with throughout the years. We're going to talk about Promise 11. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. And you know, it's already been talked about. I am at the end of the month, so it's already been talked about several times, and some of the stuff that was mentioned is intuition is a gut, is not, or intuition or gut feeling. They're kind of one of the same, but what it is not is an instinct. It's not an instinct. You can write this down. Instinct is hardwired. All right? It's something that comes naturally. It's just, you don't have to think about it. Okay, you're sitting next to one another. Look to your partner there next to you and do like this to their face. Can you do it without blinking? Teresa really wants to hit somebody. She said it last night. So don't do that. But you can't. You can't do that. Someone can't do that to you without you blinking. It's an instinct. It happens. You can't stop it. It's instinct. One of the things that we do is bow fishermen. There's no sights on the bow, you know, and so what you're doing is you're just instinct shooting. You call it instinct shooting. You see a fish, it gets out there in front of you, you got to pull back, and you use your instincts. You point shoot. It's instinct. There's no thought really behind it. It just happens, and that is instinct. Intuition, you can write this down, and this is funny. Understanding without evidence. You have an understanding, but you have no evidence to back up that understanding. No evidence. It's an understanding of a situation without specific data or evidence at the time. Now, here's something else I want you to write down. Reasoning is not part of the intuitive process. You can't reason it. See, I tried for years reasoning those people saying, God told me. I tried to try to reason that out. You can't. It can't be reasoned out. God led me in a direction. You can't reason that out because it's a feeling that that person felt. Then I found myself in recovery. And they told me, you got to be open-minded. I'm like, what do you mean, open-minded? I've been taught to believe this my whole life. That God doesn't speak directly to you. He did that back in the Bible days, but he don't do that anymore. And I was taught that and lived by it. Funny story, my mind was so closed that I wouldn't even go into a different denominational church for dinner. Trina, her grandmother one time wanted us to come over to their Methodist church there in Alvarado for a Thanksgiving thing they had, or Christmas, I can't remember. And I pitched a fit because it was a Methodist church and I couldn't go in there. Oh, yeah, but I spent time at the bar. That wasn't a problem. Mixed up, man. So what had to happen? Man, I got in recovery and they said, you need to have a mind change. Your thinking needs to change. My thinking had to change. In the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, page 569 is the spiritual experience. And if you got that, if you've got the big book on your phone or whatever, look up page 569, and we're going to just read the back, the bottom part of it there at the bottom of the page. And it says, with few exceptions, our members find that they have tapped an unsuspected inner resource, which they presently identify with their own conception of a power greater than themselves. Most of us think this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it God consciousness, God awareness. And so how do we get there? See, if you go back to that spiritual experience reading and look at it, and I've counted them, over seven times there's some form, in that small reading, there's some form of change, personality change, spiritual change. There's some form of change of the word change is being used in that spiritual experience. And who believes that hearing from God is a spiritual experience? Absolutely, right? You can't deny that. If you hear God tell you something, or you hear God leading you, or you feel God leading you in a certain way, that is a spiritual experience. So the writers of the big book, they knew that for guys like us to be able to receive that spiritual experience, to hear from God, we had to have a personality change. We had to have a mind change. Our thinking had to change. So there was a lot of different ways to do that. There was a lot of different things that were told to me, but I got three I want you to write down, and I'm going to talk about each one of them a little bit. But the first one, write down this. Read something spiritual every day. Read something spiritual every day. Devotion, it can be anything. Read something spiritual every day to change your thinking. I got a friend, Doug Poteet. A lot of you guys know him. Him and Julie come to church here some. They're great supporters of Serenity Church and real important in my family's life. But I talk to him pretty much on a regular basis. And I was talking to him a couple of weeks ago. And we were kind of talking about the same thing. And he said, man, I do a devotion every single day. I get up, I go to the bathroom, I get my coffee, and I sit down at the table and I read the devotion. And I asked him, I said, why do you do that? Why do you do it every day? And he said, man, it sets my mind right to receive whatever God wants me to receive throughout the day. And he goes, then sometimes, you know, I rush through that. And then God gets my attention because I'll get to work and I'll pull up my email and it'll be the exact same scripture that he had in his book. It's a random email will come through and it'll say the same scripture on there. And so he says, God gets my attention sometimes when I don't even pay attention. He can get my attention through reading something spiritual and it changes my mindset for the rest of the day. Amen. Write this down. Meetings. Gathering together with like-minded people. 1 Corinthians 14:26 says, what then, brothers? When you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or interpretation. Let all things be done for building others up. And this description to me was overcomers. We share. We share experience, strength, and hope. We share our stories. We share scriptures. We share. I've been in a meeting before where somebody pulled out a phone and said, I want to play this song. It helped me through the week. That scripture describes this church. That scripture describes overcomers. And so to change your thinking, be a part of this. Come to Overcomers. If you're having trouble changing your thinking about some different ways. See, me without meetings, I can tell that the meetings and stuff and being at church, and I have to have it. Because I can go on a vacation. I think I said this a couple of weeks ago in a meeting or something like that. But I can go on a vacation and be gone away from you guys for a week. And Trina will be like, hey, you're irritable, restless, discontent. Go get your ass a meeting. You know, now. And so that's serious. That's serious talk. I get squirrely. I will get flat squirrely. So without meetings, without gathering together, I'm not right. My thinking must change. And here's the third thing I want you to write down. Prayer. Pray that God renews your mind. Romans 12, 2. Do not change yourselves to be like the people of the world, but be changed within by a new way of thinking. Then you will be able to decide what is good. Decide what God wants for you. You will know what is good and pleasing to Him and what is perfect. Underline that. If you got your phone out or your Bible, underline, be changed within by a new way of thinking. Be changed within. So that means I need to be praying for change. I need to pray that my thinking will change. Be changed within by a new way of thinking. Underline this. You will know what is good and pleasing to Him and what is perfect. As soon as I read that, I wrote this down at the bottom of the page. I know that I know that I know. Right? That's what that says. You will know what is good and pleasing to Him and what is perfect. So when someone says that, they've been praying and they know. Because the scripture says, you will know. I know that I know that I know. Doesn't make me cringe anymore. I have a new way of thinking. See that feeling from God? That's Him. That's Jesus. People call it a gut feeling, intuition. If you have a God awareness, like we read about in the spiritual experience, that feeling's from God. And it's tough sometimes to you have someone that you may not like too much, and they're talking about, I got a feeling from God, and you want to just, how do you know? You know? And that's happened to me. It's happened to me. There was a person I didn't like very much at all, and they used, I know that I know that I know, and it really made me cringe a lot every time I heard them say it, because I really knew some other stuff about them. But how? How can I know that that's not what that their connection with God is not leading them? I can't judge that anymore. See, I felt God was leading me. You'd never heard me say that, see? You would have never heard me open up with that. I felt God was leading me to leave Homeward Bound and Metro Relief. I was just tired of working for them and needed something different. But I was really scared. I was really nervous about how was I going to pay my bills. I didn't want to be there anymore, but I didn't know how I was going to pay my bills. And so I kept going and kept being there. The whole time, I felt God pulling me away from there. I felt Him saying, move on. There's something else for you. But I didn't know what that something else was. And so for a while, I ignored it. I ignored it. Y'all know Ryan Hurt. He called me 2 years ago. It was 2 years ago when all this went down. But he calls me and he said, hey, my grandbaby's being born. My daughter's up here and Trina's our nurse. And so I was like, cool. I didn't even say nothing to him. I just jumped in the truck and took off. And he was sitting in the waiting room by himself. And he said, they won't even let me in there. Everybody's in there. Everybody's already seen him except for me. And so we sat there and talked. And it came up again. We need some kind of recovery stuff in Lingleville, man. There is nothing out there. And these people are messed up, right? You know. She's been to a couple of meetings there. And they're hungry. they're hungry for it. And he had already talked to me several times about it. And I always, how can I do that? It's all the way out there. No, 2 hours. And I fought doing it. But for some reason, that day, I said, okay. And it was something about how I finally was going to listen. I was finally going to listen to what he had already been saying. You know, I opened this story up with, I felt God was leading me. But I wasn't going where he was leading me because I was scared of where it might be. I had no idea. So John told me, I can't start something new unless I quit something. And so that was my opportunity. I'm going to start something new. So I quit Metro Relief and Homeward Bound. And I didn't know where that money was going to come from. That was going to be a financial loss for sure for our family. I remember going to the grocery store one time, and me and Jesse, and I picked up the small bag of dog food. And we got in line, and he goes, you usually buy a big bag of dog food. And I said, I know. And he goes, it's because you quit, isn't it? You're going to have to. I said, it's going to be okay, though. It's going to be okay, because I believe at this point I'm doing what finally doing what God wanted me to do. And that's turned out to be one of the biggest blessings of my life, going to Lingleville. And I want to offer that to y'all. Man, I go every Tuesday. These people down there are hungry. There's new people coming in all the time. It is something else. And financially, best move of my life. That's all I got to say about that. God knew what I didn't know. I'm telling you that much. So last week, me and Trina went to Jefferson. And I had this on my mind thinking about it, and I was laying there and thinking about God speaking to you and talking to you and your thoughts and your prayers and how does that all work, you know? And God, I know I need a scripture. I need a scripture. And I prayed, give me a scripture. And literally, I opened Bible up and I went to Ephesians, okay? And then I turned on Ephesians 3:1. And I started reading. So if you want to, turn to Ephesians 3:1. It says, so I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you who are not Jews, surely you have heard that God gave me this work through his grace to help you. He let me know his secret by showing it to me. I have already written a little about this. If you read what I wrote then, you can see that I truly understand the secret about the Christ. People who lived in other times were not told that secret. But now, through the Spirit, God has shown that secret to his holy apostles and his prophets. This is that secret, that through God, that through the good news, those who are not Jews will share with me, will share with the Jews in God's blessing. They belong to the same body, and they share together in the promise that God made in Christ Jesus. By God's special gift of grace given to me through his power, I became a servant to tell the good news. I am the least important of God's people, but God gave me this gift to tell those who are not Jews, the good news about the riches of Christ, which are too great to understand fully. And God gave me the work of telling all the people about the plan for his secret, which has been hidden in him since the beginning of time. He is the one who created everything. His purpose was that through the church, all the rulers and powers in heaven and the world will now know God's wisdom, which has so many forms. This agrees with the purpose God has sent since the beginning of time and carried out his plan through Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, I want you to go back and look at this and what we've been talking about. And remember, I asked God to give me a scripture. Verse 3, He let me know his secret by showing it to me. How do you think he showed it? Was it a vision? Was it in his head? See, those are going back. Oh, God told you? How do you think he showed Paul the secret? Go on down, verse 5. But now, through the Spirit, God has shown that secret. Oh, through the Spirit. What's that look like? The Spirit's in you, right? Right there, that's telling me that God speaks to you. He speaks to you through the Spirit, through you. Amen. I looked at verse 3 and I said, he let me know his secret by showing it to me. And it's talking about both that times. I'm just talking about this secret. How is the secret usually told?
Quietly.
Whispered. It's a whisper. It's a whisper. Yes. Come here. I got to tell you a secret. Right? But are we ever still enough to hear it? Some people may not be hearing from God because they're not still enough to hear the whisper. He has a secret for you. He has a secret for you. And here it's talking about how Jesus came for us all. Isn't that amazing? I'm going to go back and repeat the secret. I wrote it down. The secret, semicolon. That through the good news, those who are not Jews will share with the Jews in God's blessings. They belong to the same body and share together in the promise that God made in Christ Jesus. He came for us all. Amen. That's the secret. He came for us all. I debated about talking about this all week, but I prayed and talked to some people, and and then God started talking through them to me, and God talking to me. About 3 weeks ago, we had a brother of ours, Dennis, who passed away. And like I said, I didn't know to talk about him, and that then Hope sends me pictures of a sand dune Tacoma, and I look in my own rearview mirror, driving down the road, and there's these sand dune Tacomas everywhere. I go sit in a deer blind, and I start seeing redbirds. You know, I mean, you usually see one or two, you know, but I'm seeing redbirds. A redbird is a spiritual animal that represents love. And so I'm seeing these redbirds, and I'm really struggling with talking about Dennis tonight. And I'm like, God, I could just let that go. It's not necessary. It's been 3 weeks trying to not do it. But he keeps throwing these out here. Then Dwayne sends me a picture of a sand dune Tacoma in his rearview mirror. And then later on that evening, there sends me a picture of four redbirds around his deer feeder. I'm like, okay, I get it. I will talk about Dennis. The one thing I really want to say about Dennis is he knew the secret. He knew the secret. And he would want every one of you to know it. And I do believe you've heard it tonight. He came for you. He died for you so that you can live forever. Dennis is there. And we all want to go there too. And so, yes, we all want to go there too. And so I'm going to say a prayer. And I come, like I've said, every other time I come up here, I come from a church where you know, the invitation song, and you want to come down front, and if you want to be saved and you want to be baptized and all that kind of stuff, you have to really step out in the aisle and walk down in front of everybody. And it's not necessary. That's not necessary. You can sit right there in your chair. You can ask God into your heart. You can say, Lord, I want to turn my will, my life over to the care of you, and I want to follow Jesus. Jesus, you are my Savior, and I want to be with you forever. And then start following him. Start doing those things. Are you going to get it right? Nope. You're not. You're not going to get it right. But keep following. Keep following. That's why he died. Here's the deal. If we could get it right, he wouldn't have had to go to the cross. Amen. That's it. He wouldn't even have had to do it. So he knew we couldn't get it right. That's why he came. Right? So let me pray. And if you want to accept Jesus into your heart tonight, do so. Right where you sit. Lord in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for that rain that's out there. We thank you for everything that you bless us with. Lord, I thank you for this church. And I thank you for the ways that have been taught to me and taught to us how to change our thinking, how to be more open-minded, to hear from you. Sometimes it takes a 2x4 up against my head sometimes to know that it's from you because I struggle with the fact that we can actually hear from you. I struggle with that, and Lord, and I pray that this message tonight maybe opened up some thinking for some people, because I know I've been sitting in a congregation like this and listening to a guy talking about how God can just speak into your life and change things for you, and I didn't believe it. Lord, and I know that you are real and you speak to us and you guide us and you direct us. Lord, if there's anyone out here tonight who is not saved, I pray that you lay hard on their heart, that they give their mind, body, and soul all to you. And like I said, God, you know we're not going to get it right. You know that we're going to stumble and fall. But that's why you came in the first place. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen.